to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Live from the KPWK Airport, it's Sunday night. Hootenavond, everyone. I'm Al Waterloo, and with us again, as always, is...
Mark Eppner.
How you doing?
I'm good. I don't know. Did you slip in some foreign words in there again?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with you. I'm going to have to bring some. The only thing I know foreign is Volkswagen.
Oops. Yeah, I don't know. That's a...
Farfenugan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, boy, I love that song. The AC/DC song.
Because, isn't it nice?
Yeah, well, reason why, and for those, you know, and we're going to be talking about a nation tonight with our special guest, but
yes.
I'm a Hawkeye Nation guy.
Stop it.
University of Iowa. How about them Hawks? But,
go Illini.
Before Iowa comes out of the locker room at 8 minutes to go before the football game, all of a sudden the song starts playing, and then a camera catches them coming out of their locker room, and they got a long tunnel to go through, it left and right turns, and you're watching the players walk, and it just builds a crescendo until they come out into the field. I just think it's one of the greatest entrances.
Hey,
in college
football. Is that how our, like, pre-show, thing, is that where that, our pre-show ritual came from?
Must be.
Yeah, I know, you come out of the locker room and all hyped up and touch the sign that says play hard or whatever, you know.
Yeah, talk hard or something
talk
like
hard,
that. Yeah.
Who knows?
I'm just still trying to figure out why we have to take showers before the radio show.
Well, that's a, yeah, that's
well, you said come out of the locker room. Yeah. You know, work with me. This does not bode well for the Sunday night chuckle.
Yeah, once again, this is, we're kind of on a VFR flight plan here and we're straying off course.
Yeah, but it's our show, so we can do that.
I guess.
Or no ATC. Wow. We are PIC.
Yeah, if, yeah, well, that's good. I could, you know, there's so many questions we could ask about that, about Twitter. But I won't ask any, but I'll see what our listeners have to say on Twitter.
We can leave that. I just kind of did it. It's one of those things. Man, the tweets are coming fast and furious, and we just started.
I know. It's great. Yeah, you give them a little whole, a little material, and the people start running with it. But it's great. It's Sunday night. It doesn't even matter.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to admit, I'm not under the weather. I don't know what I ate for dinner, but it's not agreeing with me. But you know what? This is kind of like visiting the doctor, the radio show.
Oh yeah.
All of a sudden, I feel better. I mean, it's just like, wow.
It's
nice. I get to talk about airplanes and aviation.
Exactly.
And be with a lot of people out there spanning the globe and listening to us. So welcome, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome, everybody. It is Sunday night in Chicago, Illinois, in the United States of America, and that means it is Simple Flight Radio. Once again, we're live from the KPWK Airport here at the Signature FBO at the Chicago Executive Airport.
And I have to – this will be interesting because we really love working with our friends here at Signature Flight Support. They're very supportive of our efforts. Giving up a room that becomes our studio every Sunday night. But I'm going to give a shout-out to Atlantic Aviation as well, and you'll hear about that when we just talk about this week in aviation and what we did.
Yeah.
But the folks at Atlantic Aviation did some nice things for us as well this week, so I'm going to give them a shout-out here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got some great partners on the field here, and it really makes the aviation community outstanding.
Yeah, and I think the key word there is community.
Yeah, exactly. But we got here at the studios once again. We've got a really nice a nice view here, don't we?
Yeah, I'm looking at a citation. What do you mean? Son of a gun! All right, I give up.
That's the old.
A hawker.
Sort of. It's the Hawker Beechcraft. Let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say that. Oh, a beach jet.
That's right. Now I recognize it because I see that you can tell by the front there has it's pointing away. We're just looking at the tail inside the back of the engines here. But yeah, I'm just not as good. I remember when I was a kid, I could tell you every model and it just changed. And I'm pretty good with GA aircraft, the non-turbine, but I keep on slipping up on these jets. There's so many of them, but they're all so beautiful.
We're going to have an aircraft recognition event or something
a
like
safety,
that.
A fast team event.
Yeah.
I'll get some wings credit.
Absolutely. If anybody has any old obscure business jets that
I'll be
like
good
this.
At those. Yeah. If it's old and obscure,
yeah.
I'm really good at old and obscure.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, if anybody has an old, a favorite old and obscure business jet, let us know. Send it to us on Twitter and we'll start talking about it, because there's some cool ones out there.
Yep.
Yeah, but, hey, anyway, somebody already said, go Hawks.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
All right. Well, hey, I tell you what. Hawkeye Nation has a wonderful following, and this wasn't necessarily the Hawkeyes' year in football, but the last several years it's been really good and got some, like I say, it's a great following. But we're not here to talk about football or Hawkeyes. We're here to talk a lot about aviation, and I'm wondering if we should start off on a lighter moment.
Well, I think so, because you bring something to the table every single week. And that's a incredible chuckle out of myself and the rest of our listeners.
As long as they're as easy as you, we should be going fine, right? But, I was thinking about a Sunday night chuckle, and I have to tell you, there was one that was kind of what I thought would be really good for tonight, and it only indirectly deals with aviation, but will you forgive me that and let me go ahead and let's just say that these were pilots involved. It just doesn't happen to be in the air.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Let's hear it.
Well, and are you a baseball fan?
Yeah, I'm a Washington Nationals fan.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Have you ever been to a World Series game?
Nope.
Have you ever been to a baseball game?
yeah.
All right, so what's the best seat in the house?
The bleachers.
Okay, and you're a young man, and I agree. Bleachers, especially like in Chicago, are great. But if you were part of that upper echelon corporate culture, what do you think would be?
Ooh, a skybox.
Skybox, or if they didn't have any, maybe behind home plate.
Yeah.
Right there, first row.
Behind home plate.
Yeah.
You can yell at the umpire.
Exactly. So I was
it's like seat 1A on an airplane.
Yeah. Actually, I did have one at Wrigley Field, right outside where the Cubs come out of their dugout, but I digress. But I was at a World Series game with this guy, an airline captain, and we looked down and the seat right behind home plate, you know, those like two right in the middle, there was an older guy there and the seat next to him was empty.
Really?
Yeah. We kept, what the heck is that? How can, at a World Series game, the best seat in the house, one of them is empty. So my buddy went down there and he, came down and asked the older gentleman about the seat next to him. He goes, is that seat empty? And the, asked if anyone was sitting there and the gentleman said, no, that seat is empty. So my friend said, whoa, that's crazy. Who in their right mind would have a seat like this for the World Series, the biggest day in all of baseball, and not even bother to show up?
Wow.
Yeah, it was just nuts. But then the man got a sad look on his face. It's one of those things, you know, oop, did I stick my foot in the mouth? And certainly the man said, well, yeah, the seat actually does belong to me. I was supposed to come here with my wife, but she passed away.
Oh, no, how sad.
That is sad. And he went on to say that this is the first World Series they've missed since they got married in 1969.
Oh.
Yeah, that was pretty sad. But, and my friend was, you know, he said, I'm really sorry to hear that. That's really a shame. But couldn't you find someone else, a friend, a relative, or even a neighbor to take the seat? And the man said, nah, and he shook his head, they're all at the funeral.
Who man.
Oh, man.
Man, he should be, like, he has his priorities right or mixed up.
There's a few golfing goat jokes like that, too, but I thought this one would be appropriate.
I like it.
Oh, good. Well, if you like it, then I know our listeners like it, and then I'm a happy man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Chicago, it's going to be pretty cold here in the next couple days.
You think so? What do you mean the next couple days?
It is now.
What, 24 hours ago it was 50-some degrees, and now it's like below 10.
Below 10.
Well, I mean, it's between 0 and 10 degrees, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's cold.
It is cold.
And I realize it's end of January. We still have no snow on the ground. Very unusual, so I'm not complaining. But it was bitterly cold today.
Yeah.
I did get to go flying.
It was. We'll
talk about that in a second.
Yeah, exactly. But it's starting to get pretty cold here. It's only going to get colder. And let's say I've got a city that would probably be a smidge warmer, but I don't know.
Okay. Is there a question in there, sir?
I guess not.
Okay.
So anyway, I want to see how much warmer, and this is a little hint to who's coming on the show this evening.
Okay.
And I want to see how the weather is in this particular city. So let's dial in and see what we'd be packing in our suitcase tonight.
All right. Well, I can tell that way.
Temperature -01 Celsius.
Oh.
Dew point -12 Celsius. Altimeter 3033. Wichita, Mid-Continent Airport. Automated weather observation 0212 Zulu. Wind 020 at 12. Visibility 10. Sky condition clear.
There you go.
Temperature -01 Celsius.
-01 Celsius with 12 net winds. I don't think I would be packing a bathing suit or
something. No, I don't think so. But unless it was a wetsuit or a dry suit.
Yeah.
So Wichita, that's the hint, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that only narrows it down to aviation.
Yeah.
I have never been to Wichita. I'm embarrassed to say that as an aviation enthusiast.
It's kind of a neat airplane
city.
Town.
Yeah. Oh, God, I gotta believe with Cessna and Beach and all the other things, obviously those are big names.
Actually, downtown, it's pretty interesting. They have a couple different, I guess it's contractors or whatnot, but Airbus and Boeing have offices down there as well.
You know what? We should do a fly out there. That would be educational. It would be fun. And I know the club membership would absolutely love it.
Yeah. No, I think that's almost worthy of a couple days down there to see Bombardier, Beechcraft, Cessna.
Be
all
awesome.
Those, you know, all that good stuff going on. But anyway, so obviously you and I did not fly to Wichita this week in aviation. Where did you fly?
Well, I actually had, I have a couple things to talk about. One on Thursday night, and this all started with a tweet, and I can't remember if it was earlier this week or last week, but you know, we're pretty heavily involved with flying clubs and not only the flying club community of the organization we're a member of, but others in the area, because it's become one of those things we're all becoming connected.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet about going to Waukesha, that's Uniform Echo Sierra, for dinner on Thursday night. And I thought, yeah, right, someone's going to show up in a midweek on a work day for dinner.
Yeah.
And, of course, I got to the airport about 5 or whatever, and dinner was 6:30, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
So I go up there. You were battling 150 knot winds in your King Air, so you couldn't make it.
Correct.
So I went up there, and there was like 17 or 18 people representing 5 clubs, with one guy even from Las Vegas that happened to be in the area for business.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
What's that?
And I took a picture. I put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And I saw the Spark Reel video that you put out too, and it was kind of cool.
Yeah. I just did a quick scan of the table.
Yeah, just to see everybody hanging around and everything like that. And I thought that was pretty touching. And I think that's a power of Twitter. Just to kind of organize spontaneous things like that.
That's a good point. I've never appreciated Twitter for what it can do, because I always thought that, okay, this is just for people that want to say, yeah, I'm looking out a window now or not. But I see the power of it actually with what we do here at the radio show.
Yeah.
And really connecting the community. So I stand corrected.
Yeah.
One of those things.
You know what? It's, what's neat is that Twitter actually connected our tonight's guest and myself back at Oshkosh.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has its place. Like I say, it's, and sometimes you can think through all the useless places, but there's certainly a lot of useful places.
Yeah.
For it as well. And then the other thing I did, so I mentioned that for Thursday night, and then today, we went flying. It was kind of, we were waiting for some weather to come in and get some actual experience, and it never did. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Other than being cold. And so we went over to Rochelle, Illinois, which is Romeo Papa Juliet.
Yeah.
And we had heard that they had a new restaurant. The restaurant opened up in the fall. It is called, and I wrote it down.
Was it the Flight Deck Cafe or something?
Yes, it's Flight Deck. I can't find it, but Flight Deck is the word at Bar and Grill, probably. Flight Deck Bar and Grill. And I had veggie quesadillas for as an appetizer. We were just in and out real quick. And it was really good. And I saw the atmosphere. Maybe we're just so used to the same places that we frequent that it was nice to go to a new place. And
yeah,
it's reasonably close to Chicagoland, so
right.
We'll have to do it. And once a month, they do a big breakfast buffet on a Saturday. Today, actually, they had it earlier if we had been there, where people can come in. They had 20 planes show up on their first one.
Yeah.
In October, November time frame.
Oh, I bet. That sounds like a great place. I heard about that it opened up. You know, the Chicago area has some pretty well-known fly-in restaurants.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think this one has got a lot of hype. If any of our listeners out there that have a favorite fly-out or restaurant destination in near your area, please let us know and hashtag that tweet with Simple Flight, and we'll be sure to mention it on the air. And hopefully maybe compile a little list of our favorite fly-out restaurants.
I think it's very quickly going to make the list. So what about you? You heard about my thing. Oh, and by the way, this is where I said I was going to give my hats off to Atlantic Aviation. When we showed up at Atlantic at UES, Waukesha, Wisconsin,
yeah,
we had three planes that were there, and it was pretty cold, so we all asked for a plug-in on the TANS. We didn't buy fuel. And so Atlantic, you know, they're a business to make money, so there was a ramp charge and a charge for the TANS heater plug-in.
Yeah.
And they said, basically, you know, they were on our side and said, you know what, we're going to waive all the charges for you guys. So I said I would say something about them tonight, and I'm very pleased that they showed us that friendliness that we're used to in the Midwest, and thank you, Atlantic Aviation, for helping make that event extra special.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people are afraid of, in the GA community, of parking at a Signature or an Atlantic or a Landmark Aviation, but really they're quite GA friendly and small airplane friendly, and if you don't like something, usually you can work something out with with these people,
yeah,
or with these companies, and you know, have a great experience there with without the huge price tag that I think.
Right. And free cookies.
Yeah, absolutely. Free cookies, coffee. And, you know what? There was a, FBO that I went to this summer in Meridian, Mississippi that had cookies, waffles, ice cream, chili dogs.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. If you know of that, if anybody that's listening knows of that, FBO, I forgot the name of it in Meridian, Mississippi. Please, send us a tweet, hashtag SimpleFlight. That'd be great. But anyway, for my week in aviation, I got to fly a product made in Wichita.
A King Air. No different than every other week that you fly.
Yeah. I thought the suspense would loom that it was some new mysterious airplane, but no, it was actually we flew the King Air out to Philadelphia and back, and my coworker flew out there to Philadelphia, and I flew back home the night of your little Twitter meetup, and you know, I was bummed that we couldn't make it because we had 150 knot headwinds, and it was kind of a rough night to fly. There were aeromets all over the place for moderate turbulence.
Is that what you experienced?
Yeah, pretty much for the entire flight.
Wow.
Everywhere there were 100 knot winds starting at 10,000 feet, you know, that day. So there's no smooth ride anywhere up into the flight levels. I think, in the area where our guest was, they started broadcasting, SIGMETs for turbulence. You know what that means?
It affects everybody.
Well, you've been watching your King videos, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but they were broadcasting SIGMETs, and, do you know, that when a SIGMET comes out for turbulence, that's not good.
No, I imagine not.
Yeah, that was for severe.
I'm just turbulence. Thinking through the 150 knot winds. I mean, if we took up, let's say, the Archer in our club, we could go east by flying west.
Yeah.
At 25 knots ground, but.
That sounds like a new Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, we'll go west, but the winds are stronger.
East by west.
Yeah, it sounds like a movie title.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a cool flight.
Yeah.
And probably to enjoy the bounces and the slow
flight.
It
was. We had a passenger that was kind of nervous.
Oh, great.
You know, for our entire track over the state of Pennsylvania, we were in the clouds. The entire time, so that, you know.
A first time passenger?
Not a first time passenger, but a maybe once every 6 month passenger, that normally doesn't like to fly. So that wasn't necessarily the most pleasant experience for the passenger. And, you know, it's interesting how you try to take ownership of, the passenger's comfort.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to always realize that pilots, I kind of like turbulence because it feels like you're at a, being, you know, kind of rocked in a cradle, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Which explains why you always fall asleep when you're in the cockpit.
Yeah, no, that's not true, but, I don't know, I kind of like it, but, you know, for passengers, it's not the most ideal scenario. So,
yeah.
But, anyway, that was my week in aviation. What about, did anything special in aviation happen this week?
I will go for the week in aviation history. I'm going to go back to 1930, and now this will be January 25th,
uh-huh.
So today's the 20th, so I'm missing it by 5 days, but that's all right. Have you ever heard of American Airways?
No.
Yes, you have. American Airways is the entity actually that would become known as American Airlines. It was founded on January 25th, 1930 in New York, merging an amalgam of dozens of carriers under a single umbrella.
Really?
The modern name is adopted 4 years later, i.e. American Airlines. And what do you think was their flagship aircraft in 1936?
The Ford Trimotor.
Wrong.
Oh.
think about Oshkosh. Think about something that's yellow with a smiling face on it.
Ooh, a Douglas product.
DC-3.
Yep. Yes.
The Douglas DC-3 became the American Airlines flagship aircraft in 1936. So, you know, I've got a couple million miles on that airline, and it's interesting to see that in 1930, right about now, that they were founded. So
yeah.
Happy anniversary to American.
Absolutely. Happy anniversary to you.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
how about you? What do you got for us in aviation history?
Well, back in 1983, 2 years before I was born.
Oh, that feels like a stab in the heart.
An airliner made its maiden flight. And this particular aircraft is the only airplane that I've ever locked myself. I've locked myself in an airplane from the inside out.
That's like someone that locked themselves inside a car or in a hotel room.
Yeah. Yeah.
you gotta have either a very interesting skill or an interesting thought process, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. So we're going to go back in the Simple Flight archives and find, I mentioned this airplane and I told this story. I got to put 5 seconds on the clock for you to guess kind of what airplane that is. That back in 1983. So ready? Go.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I think you're asking our guest. I know the answer to this.
Time's up.
Oh. Give me 7 seconds. Actually, I've flown this aircraft. Not in the front, but as a passenger.
Yeah. So I used to work these, ride on them all the time when I worked for Mesaba Airlines in Champaign, Illinois. And back in 1983, the Saab Fairchild 340 made its maiden flight.
Yeah, and it's the first aircraft that was built by collaboration between the Swedes and U.S.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Saab being the Swedes and Fairchild being the U.S.
I would suggest that's true. Nicely done.
If anybody's ever flown a Saab Fairchild, we'd love to know about it. Please let us know. Hashtag a tweet with Simple Flight, or send us a nice email, and you can feel free to use the contact form on simpleflight.net at the bottom of any page that you go to. I think,
yeah, like I say, really our tweeters are very active tonight. The last thing I saw was someone you and I both know that gave me a go big red for the Huskers after I made my shout out to Iowa. So,
yeah,
we won't talk any more about that.
Somebody, did the math and said, wow, Al H2O Lou, 1985 birthday.
Yeah. That's pretty, that's pretty young.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's all right. But, anyway, I think it's been a great week in aviation, great thing like that. But to not to talk about Hawkeye football again, but I think that there's one thing that's actually doing a little bit better than Hawkeye football, and that's the Beechcraft King Air Nation.
King Air Nation.
Yeah.
What's King Air Nation?
Well, King Air Nation, well, I'm glad you asked, because we've got somebody very special coming on the show tonight to talk about what exactly King Air Nation is. And we're going to get to him, but first...
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Well, so anyway, we have a... this is KingAirNation.com is a website that's pretty special to me. And, part of it is the fact that, KingAirNation.com and the Simple Flight Aviation Radio Show have the same birthday.
1985?
No. Yeah, no, it's, Oshkosh, Air Venture, day one, opening day, 2012.
That's very, very cool. That's actually kind of interesting, although I can see where things could be invented and all at Oshkosh, because I've known a lot of people, or some people, that have started aviation companies, and they always want to launch it at AirVenture, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, we've got Mr. Danny Carpenter coming on the show, and we're giving him a shout right now.
All right, let's see if we can't get him on the line. He went out. Danny Carpenter.
I'm here.
Yay.
Yeah.
It worked again. Yay.
Yeah. Excellent. How you doing, Danny?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. How are you guys?
Oh, really cool. Really good. So anyway, thanks for coming on the show tonight. And I think that there's some pretty cool things going on at King Air Nation that are worthy of talking about.
Well, I bet you, and like me, and I'm not a, well, I love the King Air just because Al flies this beautiful 2008 King Air with the, makes me feel like an executive when I go in there. I wasn't that familiar with King Air Nation, so maybe just to start us off, Danny, I know that you are involved with starting King Air Nation, as Al said, just back in Air Venture. Can you tell us a little bit about what is King Air Nation?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks, first off, for having us on. We're definitely excited about being a part of what you guys are doing, but, we're definitely pumped about King Air Nation. You know, it's got a little bit of a history to it, but, we'll start off with a kind of short and sweet version. It's, basically we're trying to create an online community, a platform for the King Air community to come together and connect, as well as, being kind of half a news source as well for people to find out the latest and greatest in King Air news and businesses and products and services that are out there right now.
That's outstanding. So you, so for the King Air, well, let's say this. So you don't have to necessarily fly or work on a King Air to be part of the King Air Nation, right?
No, definitely not at all. You know, we launched, like you were mentioning, at EAA, and you know, I think it was kind of always a dream for us to individually, the people that are involved, to get out to EAA eventually. And we had really kind of wondered how many King Air specific guys would be out there versus, you know, such a large, vast area of people that are out there. How many would be, you know, specific fans of the King Air And we were just so shocked by the response out there. Obviously, Al, we were able to connect with you guys, and it really blew us back. I mean, you know, running into specific owners of King Airs, people that are operating the King Airs and pilots, from mechanics, AMTs and AMPs and IAs and everybody that are working on these babies, as well as, you know, people with great stories of my dad used to fly one, or, man, I just like the way they look, to, I mean, you name it, all across the board.
Yeah.
So where did this start? I mean, was it a brainchild that happened like 2 weeks before AirVenture? Has this been years in the making?
Yeah, exactly. We were just like, yeah, let's, you know, throw off a huge booth. And man, I wish it was that way. This was probably a good year in the making. I suppose, you know, my aviation career started at good old Pratt & Whitney. And after spending quite a bit of time there, I moved on to work for an aftermarket parts company that worked a lot on the King Air. So I kind of took the engine love to the King Air airframe love and kind of put it together. And we had about a handful of us that really kind of just sat back and said, gosh, I'm subscribing to different websites for various news and products, and I'm Googling, you know, all this different stuff, you know, asking questions and what does this and where do I find that? We need one central place online that we can go and just find everything, as well as connect with people that are doing the same thing we are. And so naturally, we're huge social media fans, and I've worked a lot on the marketing end. So we kind of started to get out there and see what the response would be like. And sure enough, we found a huge King Air community out there, from various blogs to, you know, Facebook and Twitter and different social media mediums, that people were engaging and talking about their stories and how they use the aircraft. And, you know, that gave us a good inclination that starting a website would be a really great start. And, you know, let's see what happens with it. And so that's kind of where the idea started.
Wow. And I understand, obviously, you're just in your infancy. Can you release to us how many members of King Air Nation exist?
Yeah, no, that's not a problem at all. I believe we're right around 1,200 members on the site.
Wow, that's pretty cool for such a short time.
Yeah, that's really huge.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we got a great start at EAA. Like I said, finding a lot of people that, were excited about what we were launching. You know, after that, we, had attended, the La Base conference, down in Brazil.
Cool. And,
along with that, you know, the famous NBAA conference in Orlando. We attended some events in Australia and some other events across the U.S., you know, supporting some other companies. So we're really, really blessed with kind of getting a good start and working really hard to get the name out there. So it's been interesting. Along with the 1,200 or so members, give or take, that are on the site, through all of our social media channels. So we're talking, you know, Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, photo sharing, LinkedIn, YouTube, you name it. I think we're just about 5,000 followers total.
Wow. Congratulations. That's terrific.
Yeah.
Is this something you think that any, you know, whether Bonanza, Cirrus, a 172, whatever, just, you know, there's so many airplanes that people love and kind of feel part of that community. Is that available to them as well? Or is there something special that you see about the King Air?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, right now we're seeing so many different people that are starting to engage and join the site and engage with the community and create dialogues. You know, anytime you launch a social media type platform, because essentially the majority of the site is social, it's going to take some time to get people to feel comfortable and think, this is a place where I like to connect with other people. So we've seen that steadily increase since we've launched. But, you know, yeah, you got a pilot that's rocking a 172 all the time, but, you know, thinks maybe someday, you know, he would love to fly King Air. Or you got a guy that's running a business or you name what, and actually realizes that the King Air would be a huge tool to his business. I mean, we're seeing so many different people hook up. So of course the King Air is very special to us and a lot of people out there, but that's what the community is about. It's got to be a widespread of people with different experiences and different stories and bringing different news to this table to, you know, to keep it interesting.
Somebody just sent actually a tweet in and said that, King Air News blogs and new products, find it on King Air Nation. And, I think that's kind of cool. That's that's a pretty neat concept where you build a social community and, you know, so you've kind of built a micro niche area and, you know, provide, a well-known, you know, news content for everybody that loves this airplane.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when, like I was saying, with us being huge fans of the social media platforms, we kind of set off saying, let's build a social media site. You know, that was kind of like our inner excitement coming out of it. And so we, of course, you know, you can model it after the success of something like Facebook, but you can log onto the site. It's completely free to register and join. You can create an individual profile, have your own picture, set up your own bio. And then from there, you can connect with other people. You can send out friend requests, people that you know, people that you don't know. You can search for, you know, pilots or people with working on specific things or specific businesses. And then from there, you can send direct messages to people, as well as tagging your friends in posts and comments on the site as well.
Yeah. Actually, you know, what's interesting. So I'm on KingAirNation.com, right now, and, I've got, three friend requests, with people trying to connect, with me on King Air Nation. And, actually, I think, I just accepted all three of them. So I think it's kind of neat where you can go on and, it's actually pretty easy to sign up and maneuver around the site. And, I think, you know, personally flying the King Air, it's just a lot of fun hearing other stories. And, you know, actually, you know, the things I really enjoy, are seeing and hearing, you know, people from other countries flying the King Airs around. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. You know, it's just continuing to be, an awesome experience. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a company out of France, you know, approach us and say, you know, we'd really love to grow inside of the site and what can we help? And, you know, we've had the same reaction, out of Brazil, and I'm sure, you know, attending La Base and promoting it there has helped that type of thing. But we would love to see this thing, you know, be, you know, international and globally and just really just connect everybody to provide them exactly what the site is, you know, news and information as well as allowing them to connect. So, that's been really exciting as well to see.
Speaking of connections, is there any direct connection with Beechcraft or is this totally separate?
No, it is definitely separate. We definitely have a relationship with those guys and we're excited about, you know, them coming out as Beechcraft Corporation and the marketing direction that they're going to be going with their products. And, you know, at this point, we're essentially here to support them and be an avenue that they can use to connect with the community as fast as possible and get them the latest news and customer interaction and engagement. So we're pretty excited to just be kind of working alongside those guys as well as a bunch of other businesses in the King Air industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, well, I'm on the website right now and I think I'm going to try to post something about you guys hear about the new single engine King Air coming out?
Yeah, and actually I just saw that post on Twitter as well, someone asking about that. You know, that's pretty exciting. I got to be honest, when we were at NBAA and there was a lot of, I guess for a lack of a better word, tension with Hawker Beechcraft on the jet side.
Yeah.
You know, me focusing more on the King Air, of course, and the Beechcraft side, I was really impressed with the way that Beechcraft at least sort of kind of led us on, you know, that there's some big things happening with Beechcraft as well as, you know, the potential single engine turboprop, you know, I think they mentioned that they're about 6 aircraft right now, and within 5 years they hope to have 10. I mean, that's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to see what they produce.
Have you seen it, Mark, the new single engine?
Yeah, it was one of the magazines, so not live, but I did see it on the cover. It was that Flying Magazine or AOPA Pilot, one of the two. Yeah, and it looked, you know, I saw King Air, you know, in bold letters, and it didn't even hit me. And I go, wait a minute, it looks like a Pilatus. No, it doesn't. That looks pretty cool. So I had a, I thought it was pretty sharp and immediately wanted one.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't want one? They look pretty awesome. And all that. But I think, no, that's pretty neat. So I just posted, a couple questions about the single engine, King Air on, kingairnation.com. And, it should be hopefully, you know, I think that will actually be a pretty cool addition to the King Air fleet.
Oh, I think it's, based on the economics of, and the costs associated with the, engines and all, you know, too. And you see how well Pilatus has done. I think that gives them another niche. They own the market they're in, but there's another opportunity, and I think they're perfectly positioned to go after that.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, a guy had hit me up this week, kind of asking about it as well, and we're even wondering if Beechcraft is actually going to classify it as a King Air, or if it's going to be completely something new. So I think we're a little bit on our seats wondering that as well.
What do you think they should do? Not that they're going to ask either one of us.
I know, right? you know, I don't know. So many people associate the name, the King Air, with the turboprop. I mean, that's exactly what it is. And so to throw out a single on there, from the marketing standpoint, it seems like it'd be a great cause to come up with something new. You know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good question for everybody, listeners. It'd be if you were to rename the single engine King Air, were to call it something else, what would you call it, or would you call it the King Air?
Yeah,
and hashtag that simple flight.
And don't call it a Queen Air because we've been there, right?
Yeah, I would say I would probably call it like maybe Prince Tuesday. or something like that. Remember that from, Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, okay. I was going back to the Sunday Night Chuckle. Where you totally,
exactly.
Fail.
Well, I guess so. So that I would hashtag that one fail. Yeah. So, well, whatever.
So, you know, actually I would love to know more about, you know, what led to this. And so as we continue the conversation with Danny Carpenter of King Air Nation, Annie, what is your background besides you said you worked at Pratt and Whitney and an aftermarket parts company? What about your involvement general aviation from outside the how do I earn my living perspective? What is your connection there?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, you know, I was coming out of high school and hit the college route and actually had a great connection into Pratt and Whitney. And so I think at that point, you know, I was about to get married and start this wonderful journey in life, right? And it was like, hey, I can hook you up with a good job. Sure, let's try this aviation thing out. And, you know, I'll be here a couple years, man, and I'll be on to doing the dream job. And, you know, it was 8 years later, and I was still rocking all that prep.
Cool. And so you are or are not a pilot?
No, I'm not a pilot. You know, just starting there, it was really about, understanding the industry. Sure. You know, took a lot out of my experience with Air. It's a fabulous company and really good people and, you know, kind of bounced around in there, kind of hit all pieces of the pie, to really understand what Pratt does. And, you know, from there had a great connection to hook up with an aftermarket parts company. And from there, I really started pushing a little bit more on the marketing side and a little bit more business development. Going from a very large corporation to a very small business, you know, was kind of a culture shock, you know, to a degree. But it provided me with a lot of opportunities. So since then, you know, I've always grown up on the social media side, so always been a huge fan of that, and kind of felt like I've just always had an eye for wanting to see businesses grow or what could I do to help them out. And, And so, you know, applying that to what King Your Nation is doing now is just a great fit.
Yeah. Well, I want to point something out about that, you know, and how cool aviation is and how you know, I think a lot of people have a misconception that, oh, you know, people that are in aviation are just pilots. But no, you're a great example of how awesome aviation is and how many people, I think for the, you know, the pilot community is kind of a, it's probably one of the smallest chunks of aviation. There's so many people that provide a great service and support to the industry, and you know, connecting people socially is part of that, and that's exactly what you're doing. And you know, that's pretty cool. I think that there's something to be said about that, and how you know, aviation just isn't necessarily pilots, but everybody loves the industry. I think that's so cool.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, that's a good point. You know, I don't, you know, back when I first started, I didn't think that aviation was necessarily a passion or what I was ever going to do in life. But I tell you what, I've grown to just love it. I'm just a huge fan of it. And that's a great point. I'm not a pilot. So, you know, it's been awesome to just kind of understand and learn the business side of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could have never been a part of King Air Nation on my own, just, you know, understanding the business end of it. So, you know, the team that's kind of been behind this has been, you know, pilots, people with engine experience, people with part experience, and different facets of the industry to kind of come together as a core group and help this grow. And as we've kind of been progressing the site, we're slowly building a team of people that are really kind of backing this and want to all contribute to seeing the community grow on the website. To use this as a better platform. And so it is definitely about connecting everyone and having the interaction amongst everybody for sure.
Yeah. And Al, I got to echo your comments as I'm listening. I'm green that this is pretty amazing in that, you know, that Danny is not a pilot, but is infected with the same enthusiasm, passion that we all are. And it goes to the flying club where we have people that are not pilots or that don't plan to be pilots, but they share in that same passion. So it's a pretty cool community regardless of what role people play in it. And I think we're seeing evidence of that in King Air Nation.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that that's the cool part about aviation is that, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, you go, let's say you go to Oshkosh. So Danny and I met at Oshkosh and, you know, that's really cool. It's not just a thing for pilots. It's for anybody that really, you know, loves the industry or generates passion.
Yeah, who tends to look skyward, right? The poetic, nature of us, though, we see the little kids and, oh my goodness, there's an airplane and it's exciting and it exists in all of us. And so it's really cool to see. So Danny, what's kind of the view? Where is this going? Do you have longer term goals or it's kind of living in the moment and seeing where it takes you?
Well, we're definitely living in the moment. We have to take this, you know, one day at a time. You know, when I always like connecting with friends of mine that are huge in the social media business, and you know, always compare it to something like MySpace when they had started this core group of guys saying, this is what this website's going to be and this is what we want it to be. And really the community took over it and they said, this is what we'd like to see out of it and this is how we're using it. And the people that had started it totally took a step back and said, this needs to be for the community. So that's really what we're doing. We just kind of set a basic platform and we're trying to see what the people want out of it and what direction this is going to go. You know, we'd love to see it go in a certain direction. We, you know, we'll kind of slowly push that and kind of see what happens with it. But, you know, a great example is we're getting a ton of requests for people that want to see a King Air trade show or a fly-in, something where the community can actually meet face-to-face and check out the products and things like that. So I think naturally we would love to see something like that happen down the pipeline.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. I think that there's a, you know, you think about the King Air, it's somebody tweeted in and said, oh, it's the most popular business, airplane in, you know, the world, right? And there's a, so the community is actually really big. And wouldn't that be neat to go to a flyout and have King Airs? You know, there's no other airplane but other than just a ramp full of King Airs.
I'm always impressed with all of that, even, you know, whether it's the Stagger Wing Convention or the Piper Cubs. It's just so impressive to see a fleet of similar airplanes on a ramp. Bonanzas always have done a good job with that. I kind of relate it to the Harley-Davidson and motorcycles. I mean, these guys get together, and it really is the energy of the community.
Yeah. I'm going to post something on King Air Nation, and I'm going to ask a question, and hopefully people will respond to it. But let's see. It's regarding a King Air flyout. So go to King Air Nation to check out.
I think the problem would be just like you can't take your King Air because somebody else is paying you to fly them to do business.
Yeah, that's true. But
exactly, you know, and that's a huge part of it to consider. You know, I mean, think about any other aircraft that's out there that's really, let's just say, a step above a King Air, if you can even say that. You know, I mean. It just doesn't seem that like there's going to be a fan base for anything above a King Air. You know, I'm sure you guys are familiar with American Bonanza Society.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are comparing what we've kind of started to something like that. I mean, and that's exactly it. Such a hardcore group of a community that's so devoted to that. And it's, you know, we did a ton of research when we launched this and or prior to launching it to it. We wanted to really have all our ducks in a row to make sure, you know, we had a lot of blessing, if you will, from the community. And I just don't know that anything much higher than a King Air would have this type of devoted community to it. So, but you bring up a good point. I mean, you know, this is more of a job for a lot of people instead of more just maybe a leisure hobby for someone that might have a Bonanza, for example.
Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from. And yet, obviously, as you've grown over, what'd you say, 1,200 members in just a few short months, you know, I might be wrong. Again, maybe it's only with relating to flyouts that it can't happen, but certainly the passion about the airplane is obviously evident.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know what's also neat? So to go back to one of Danny's point, Mark, you brought it up of, you know, people won't be able to fly their King Airs because you fly it for somebody else or another business. But think about if this is the most popular business aircraft in the world and you got all the owners and the pilots together, you know, think about how much somebody could grow their business with the connections to all the different businesses.
Well, and maybe then, I'm not here to tell Danny how to run his business, but I was thinking we talked about having a get together. Well, it'd be great to have a flyout. Maybe there's a virtual trade show, right, where you have a connected community online for a live event. But that's for somebody else to determine, not me.
Man, that's really a great idea, and that's really what we're seeing from this community is people like that, Mark, stepping up and saying, "Hey, what about this?" Or it'd be great if the site did that. And you know, that's kind of a part of it. We're slowly molding this into what's going to work for the community. And that's really the exciting part for sure.
When I talk to people that are running an organization or a business, I like to ask a question that's a little bit of an offshoot of what we just talked about a few minutes ago. And as you look at King Air Nation, are the things that you think you should, one, start doing, two, stop doing, or three, know that you have to continue doing?
Say that again for me, Mark.
Yeah, it's basically start doing, stop doing, and continue doing based on your first 4 or 5 months, whatever it's been, 6 months leading the King Air Nation organization. You know, how would you change the business in terms of start, stop, and continue?
Yeah, well, that's kind of tough off the fly.
I guess we should have talked about that. No, it's
that's good. You know, I guess kind of when I think about start, I probably jump to the continue. What we're really loving to see is the interaction that we're seeing between people or even just the engagement that we're having with the community.
Right.
So I guess we want to start maybe getting more creative with, with capturing even more of the attention and finding out more of what they want, whether we create, you know, unique promotions or contests or, you know, trivia or certain things that, the people really like to engage in. That's what we want to start doing more of. You know, from this point, it's been a little bit of a, hey, is this thing really going to work? Is it going to catch on? And I think we're really finally seeing that it will. And so we're wanting to start a lot more when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I definitely think it's working. I just got an invitation to join a new group on KingAirNation.com. I was, joined the heading 370, group.
So. Yeah, that's big. And we're seeing, you know, I think there's a Blackhawk, you know, fans or something group that had started. You know, there's a lot of people, an insurance question type group. And so we're seeing people start to get involved that are finding, hey, this is where I have experience. This is where I could help the community. And I want to pass that on to other people. You know, it's really becoming a very tight knit group and people that are trying to help others out. And so, you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty cool. There's always some really cool, pictures. Yeah, I know if you go to your Twitter, the King Air Nation Twitter account, you can kind of see some of the pictures that people tweet in and things like that. And I gotta tell you what, the King Air, I think a lot of these pictures are a lot better than the pictures on the King Air website from Beechcraft. People have taken some pretty artistic shots, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And if I can put a plug in, if anyone uses the Instagram app, we are just like Twitter at King Air Nation. Find us on there. That's been a huge social media platform for us. We have, I'm actually pulling it up right now, we have 497 followers just on that application, which is huge to us. And people are sharing their King Air photos, they're tagging them with hashtag King Air, and you're exactly right, Al, they're amazing, they're very artistic, very creative, and that's gonna be a really cool platform for us to launch contests and weekly things to get people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's actually really exciting. I always try to tweet in some pictures and things like that. I think the last thing I did was I asked what's in your wing locker?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think through and I'm getting maybe a little off topic, but the average King Air pilot, you know, what are they, young like an Al Waterloo or old like a Mark Eppner? And therefore, what is their inclination to be involved with social media and all? Have you found that, obviously you're telling us they are willing participants, but I'm wondering if this is a specific demographic that's really attuned to that, or if it's a little bit of a harder push?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point as well, too. And, you know, as we're growing the website and these social platforms, we're looking at a lot of the analytics to see that type of information. You know, naturally, I think it's fair to say that the aviation community as a whole is a bit behind when it comes to social media. And so we want to be sensitive to, you know, originally, like I mentioned, when we wanted this to be like all social media, it's what we want, but is it really the best fit for the community? And so we kind of had to pull that back a little bit, and we started to focus more on the news. And so really both aspects are getting a ton of traffic to the site. And so we're finding them to be both similar. A lot of people are wanting to just find the latest news. You know, people are saying, hey, I get home each night and I pull up my iPad, and instead of reading the newspaper, I'm going to King Air Nation to find out what's going on. Or guys are saying, hey, you know, between flights, I'm pulling up King Air Nation on my cell phone, and I'm you know, connecting with other people that are flying the same day. You know, we're seeing so many different things. And so I think naturally we just have to be sensitive to that. What is exactly the audience out there? And we're slowly seeing the differences.
Yeah. By the way, again, the tweets are coming fast and furious. we asked, what would you call the single engine? I don't know, Al, if you saw this. Someone said the Joker.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I can envision some pretty neat paint schemes off of that.
Absolutely. Why so serious?
Yeah, I don't know if Beechcraft will like it, but I'd like to see people get a little bit more edgy. And, you know, it's interesting with all the news that we've seen on what was Hawker Beechcraft now becoming Beechcraft and all, and the Chinese in and the Chinese out in terms of investments. It'll be interesting to see where they go. And it'll be interesting to see, Danny, how much they get connected with you. You said there's really no connection, but at the same time, I know if I were running an organization like Beechcraft and I had a fanatical, passionate following that was in a separate organization, I'd want to get pretty close.
Yeah, and that's really the cool part about this is we're finding people that are going, hey, I don't do that Facebook or Twitter stuff, but, you know, it was really easy to get on King Air Nation, something that they either do as a job or they're passionate about, and able to, you know, interact socially with other people. And so we're finding the older generation more and more coming on board and actually engaging socially. So that's very encouraging. And, you know, I think there's a lot of guys out there either way, you know, kind of saying, you know, hey, it's about time I start doing this. This is the direction, you know, media is going and information. And so it's a huge step for the community.
And in your day-to-day role with the organization, do you interact through social media, or do you find yourself having a good opportunity to get on a phone and actually have a conversation with some of the members of King Air Nation?
Oh man, we're doing it all. It's and that's the cool part, because we love social media so much. You know, to have a job that you can mess around on Facebook and Twitter, you know, all day is just like a dream job, right? Well, we're doing that. We're connecting with people, but we're definitely on the phone. People are calling in to share stories. You know, businesses are saying, hey, how can we get involved? How can we support the community? Can King Air Nation help promote our product? And that's exactly what we would really love to see. Anyone that has a business or anyone that's involved with King Airs at all, to let us know. Let's connect. We want to know more about what you're doing. It provides great content for the readers on the site and allows us to support the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a somebody actually just commented on Twitter about the King Air Nation logo, and they thought it looks really, really cool. And they were wondering, this is just a question. Is there going to be any King Air swag available for purchase on King Air Nation anytime soon?
Yes, I love the term swag. in relation, no, great. Yeah, it's something that we're definitely working on. We produced a lot for EAA when we launched, and so it's kind of like there was almost a limited edition. So if anyone's out there rocking a King Air Nation hat or a T-shirt, definitely tweet that in. We'd love to see you guys rock that stuff. But definitely, we're going to produce some more items. We're going to get a store set up. We're going to find out, again, great example, what do the people want? You know, do they really want coffee mugs with King Air Nation on it, or would they rather see, you know, some nice polos out there? Let us know. We'd love to create something and get some options out there for people.
Hey, I gotta mention something real quick on the one thing.
I'm looking at his eyes, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to come up with something here that – I don't know if I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Well, why? No, I think it was pretty cool. I got, I think there was one of two made, or there are two made, and I've got one of two, or two of two, I don't know. At Oshkosh, I won a King Air Nation iPad. And it was so
What's
cool.
That?
I got a
King Air. You didn't win an iPad from King Air Nation.
Yeah. But... yeah, I sure did.
Did and you really?
Danny, did I not win a King Air?
King Air.
King Air, or what did I say? iPad. Yeah, yeah, King Air iPad.
Yeah, how do you think I got this radio bit, John?
Now, wait a minute. Are you serious? You won an iPad?
Yeah, an iPad.
That's pretty cool.
I put my name in the drawing.
When you said that, I assumed you meant, oh, got a little cover that's decal that goes on your iPad cover.
Yeah, no, it was engraved. I actually have a picture of it, and I'm going to tweet it right now. I gotta find it, but yeah, it's probably the coolest logo and engraving a job on a on
is that
a,
it right
iPad.
There off your right elbow?
No, yeah, yeah, it is.
Let me see that thing.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, it was actually a really cool design and things like that. So thank you very much for the iPad. It's pretty
handy.
Heck
yeah, man.
I want to win one. Which button do I push for that?
Yeah, you need to start by becoming a member on the site.
Yeah, would you? Hey, I am one that's always not on the bleeding edge, so we'll call it the trailing edge, but I promise to do it by the time midnight strikes in Chicago tonight.
Oh, man, I'm just giving you a hard time. But
why should you be any different than anybody else?
Man, we are we're excited. We got a lot of stuff planned for the new year. I'm not going to give away any of the secrets yet, but you know, we're going to be doing a lot of promotions. Earlier this year, or the end of last year, rather, for example, we actually hooked up with Banyan down in Fort Lauderdale, who we, you know, we gave away a $500 fuel card.
Cool.
They also partnered up with us to give away a, they got a Pilot Shop gift card that they did there as well. So there's a lot of companies that want to kind of collab with us and say, you know, let's get creative and let's hook the community up. So we got a lot of stuff in store that we're pretty excited about.
That's very cool.
That is kind of exciting. You know, I think that all these little communities and enthusiasts, you know, I'll use community again.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, right. But no, I think it's kind of neat to see, you know, companies like that rally around these groups of people.
He's talking, I'm thinking, why don't we have Simple Flight radio gear?
We need to.
Yeah. So maybe we contract with King Air Nation to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know a guy or two that can help you out.
There you go. Good. We might need to do that. So
do you get to fly in King Airs at all? I think you mentioned that you've been in one or two or something. How often do you actually get to partake in this passion of yours?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, not as much as I would love to. That's for sure. You know, but it's a great example, you know, a good couple of months ago, we got a phone call saying from an owner that was having quite a few upgrades done and would love to have us come out and kind of run through a test flight with them. And, you know, that's a situation where someone hits us up and says, we got a great story for the website. Let's connect. We'll check the bird out and go for a flight. And that's really what we're wanting to do. We would love for people to connect with us and not only share their stories, but let us know about events or what they're doing with their King Air so we can kind of collaborate and produce some unique stories and articles for the site. So, yeah, we'd love some more King Air flights, and hopefully this year we'll serve that purpose.
Yeah, maybe we can get some GoPro videos.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. See? Maybe you need a marketing guy like me.
Well, hook me up with your number, man. We'll see what we can do.
There you go. I'm just kidding, but I'd love to make a living in aviation. But I just, in the meantime, the radio show will have to suffice.
Yeah. Exactly. So, Danny, what's one of the things that's totally caught you off guard by King Air Nation? Something that's really cool and exciting that you would never have thought when dreaming about it day one.
Gosh, you know, I probably have to be a bit generic and just say that, where it's at today. I guess I just didn't envision it to take off so fast.
Yeah.
That's kind of forced us to kind of take it one day at a time. And, you know, we got a team of people that are supporting us and, engaging with the folks, you know, maintaining the website, working on the marketing side, and, you know, without the team that we have, it would be very difficult to maintain and continue to grow this. So we're just really excited to see where it's going so far. And, you know, I think probably getting that phone call to hey, come out here and do a story on us. The aircraft's about to be delivered with all these upgrades, and we'd love to take you for a flight. that kind of stuff is like, you know, that's pretty darn cool. And we hope to see a lot more of that.
And one of the things behind us even doing this radio show is all about revitalizing GA and really taking a different view than what we hear so much about the declining pilot population and all that. So it sounds to me, and maybe I'm answering my own question, but, you know, what role do you see yourselves playing in indeed just kind of giving a positive spin to the industry and then helping at least this one group out with your organization?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're really just wanting to see, you know, the aviation community, you know, grasp a little bit closer to the social media side. And, you know, we think having some type of a King Air specific group has probably been long overdue, to say the least. And, with what Beechcraft is coming out with, we feel like we've kind of built a perfect platform at the right time for this community. You know, there was a lot of people questioning what was going to happen with Hawker Beechcraft, and a lot of people didn't know where to go and were searching for answers that nobody was giving. And not that we're always going to have the answer by any means, or not that we're even going to have all the inside scoop that someone else doesn't have, but you know, people were really excited to be able to come here and know that they can get the latest news, you know, on what's happening with the community. So it's just going to have to be one step at a time. You know, we really want feedback from people so we can continue to grow this. You know, but there's always new ideas around the corner. I think it's going to be ever evolving into what happens with social media and the newest way to present news. Social media is really turning to be even more visually done, you know, with photographs and videos. And so, you know, this whole medium is just incredible. And it's really exciting to see where it was 10 years ago to where it is now and what it might be in even 2 years from now.
Yeah. Now, you know, I've heard you use the term we and us, and yet it seems like you're doing and providing so much of the energy. Is kind of organization stands there with you? How big is King Air Nation from an internal perspective?
Yeah, sure. We're a relatively small group that's managing this to start off. But, you know, we have, you know, I guess I'll just say backers, people that have come to us and where the original idea started, people that have wanted to be involved. And so that group is continually growing and growing because, like I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm not a pilot, so I can't really talk to those type of questions. And I'm not a mechanic, so I can't answer technical questions. And so when people are, you know, inquiring or engaging with us, we essentially have a team that we can reach out to and say, hey, help us out, you know, or we can connect the dots to two other people. And that's really what we've needed to make this happen, to be able to produce the right content, answer the questions correctly, and engage with the community. And so we hope that that will continue to grow. You guys, for example, or any listeners that are involved, you know, connect with us because you could definitely be another resource for us to help this thing grow.
Absolutely. I'm watching more of these tweets, and looks like people are trying to figure out how they get a King Air Nation t-shirt.
They're definitely limited edition. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some out there on eBay, you know, people trying to sell them for who knows what.
No, well, just that always amazes me, by the way. Even a company I worked with previously, they sold some electronic gear, and you start seeing people sell the same stuff on eBay. I guess, I don't know. I'm always amazed what you can find online, so I am going to look on eBay for some King Air Nation t-shirts.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to work on that. It's been a hot topic for sure. So, you know, keep a lookout for King Air Nation to have a store soon, and we'll see what we can do.
Perfect. Yeah. Unlike Al, I'm willing to pay for this stuff.
Yes. Right?
What's that?
Al's trying to win everything.
Yeah, and that's great. But in the meantime, I'm buying everything.
Hey, I'm just a King Air pilot. That's what I have to do.
And ask him who bought him dinner tonight.
Oh,
Yeah, yours truly.
Mark Eppner, thank you very much. That was a like the Hail Mary pass and all that. But that was that
Al
was really
flying
nice.
A lot today, and all of a sudden it was coming close. He hadn't eaten, so I picked him up dinner. So never let it be said I wasn't a good teammate.
teamwork.
That's exactly teammate. Right. Yeah, right. No, you know what's cool is I fly out to Doylestown, Pennsylvania quite a bit, and I was walking through the office and I saw a KingAirNation.com sticker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat. You know, kind of floating around. And, so I think that community's out there and people, you know, I'm pretty excited for you guys, Danny, just because, you know, it's hard work to get the name out there. You guys have, really pushed this and being active and kind of delivering the content that people want to hear and see. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of time for you guys before you really have something that's, you know, it's already great, but, you know, even better.
Yeah. Well, that's, we definitely appreciate, you know, it's awesome, feedback and encouragement for what we're trying to do. And, you know, we just, you know, we definitely have to be sensitive and careful for what new avenues we're trying to launch and what direction we're going to go into. You know, so many people think, you know, launching a Facebook page and having 10 friends on there means you're doing social media, you know, but that's definitely not the case. That's not what we wanted to do. We wanted to really give this our all to see if it was going to stick and to see if this is really what the community needs. And so far the feedback has been excellent. So, we're definitely curious what the next step is going to be and what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I keep thinking, what has changed in aviation with a lot of the economy, where it's had a little hiccup or hit a speed bump? And even from my generation, I can see the importance of social media, because these companies, if I may be so bold to say, they need our help. They need the help of their customer base, their nation, if you will. And social media is the enabling technology that lets them do that. And that's not something we had 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I got here's a good question for you, Danny. Are there any, surprises on, King Air Nation yet?
You know, one thing I'm thinking about is we actually had a guy, that works, for a company that does a lot with the King Airs, kind of more of a service center maintenance shop, if you will. And he said that he actually connected with a guy through a King Air Nation channel, and actually scored a paint job out of the deal.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I guess that's the kind of stuff that kind of, you know, makes us want to keep this going. You know, that's a great, example of a connection and, linking the dots, you know, to do that. So, of course, you know, the owner of the aircraft was thrilled to connect with the right shop, and the shop was thrilled to be able to make that connection. And so, on the business side of things, you know, we would love to see that increase. We would love to connect other people with the right businesses and the right connections. And so that was a pretty cool surprise that we heard.
Yeah, that's really it's kind of special and neat to hear that when little things like that happen and, little win for, the, you know, win for the team.
One for the good guys.
Yeah, seriously. I know. Yeah. That's pretty cool. You know, stories like that, know that, you know, people are always looking for new things in aviation to do that. But I got another question, and this is kind of a hypothetical one for everyone. So if you were the owner of that King Air going into the paint shop, what kind of a paint scheme would you get for your King Air? What color would you paint it?
Well, of course, we'd have to rock the big King Air Nation logo on the side of it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Matter of fact, let's save all the paint. Remember when you're too young, but when American stopped painting their aircraft because of the weight savings?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? They used to be white with American Airlines paint, and then they went back to the stainless look, if you will, and just then the less. I wonder what it looked like with King Air, with just that look with a King Air Nation logo on the side.
Just like the silver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the aluminum look, yeah, and then right on top. Maybe
I think
not.
That'd be pretty cool.
It'd be a little retro, but yeah. I could see it.
Yeah. I think that's a good question for our listeners. If you were to own a King Air, which model King Air would you own, as well as what color would you paint it? I think that's pretty cool. I think that there would be nothing more fun than having to pick out your paint interior schemes for your new King Air.
Yeah, and hey, another question that we had put out earlier and love to see some feedback on is, I'd like to connect with, had an opportunity to fly each model of the King Air.
And Al, let's see if Al can mention them. I know he can.
Yeah. So the different models of King Airs.
Yep.
First of all, we have a 90.
Yep.
An A90. A B90, a C90, an E90, an F90.
What happened to D?
Oh, is there a D?
No, probably not, but I'm wondering what happened to it.
Yeah, then we have there's a B100. There is a 200. And then there's all these 200, you know, I guess now you start to get into GT, GTX, GTXI, or GTI, all that, you know, all those.
They can't
models.
Keep it simple, can they?
A King Air 250 now, right?
Yep.
Then a King Air 300 and a King Air 350?
I'm not sure. I'm looking to the King Air man to get the answer. Hey, maybe Danny knows.
Yeah, I think you were pretty close. You might have missed another 100 model in there. Or so, but I believe you're pretty close on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that there's so what's a super King Air?
Good question. Let's see what the listeners think, true definition of a super King Air would be.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have so if anybody knows the definition of a super King Air.
Do you know the answer?
I do.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
I don't. Yeah. Actually, Super King Air.
Super King Air. There's a, and all that. So if you know the answer to that, tweet that to us, hashtag SimpleFlight, and we'll see if anybody knows the
actually, do you know when they stopped making the Queen Air?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a Queen Air?
No, I've watched YouTube videos of them, though.
Yeah. I used to see them all the time. I never flew in one, but it was... You know, when I was young, we thought, what could we afford? And okay, you couldn't afford the King Air, so you'd go for the Queen Air and lose the turbine. I don't know what I was thinking, like all of a sudden I could afford that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I think we found somebody who mentioned that they know, what the King Air, the Super King Air entitles. It's, or, you know, what it is.
Okay, let's hear what they had to say.
And it's any model of King Air over greater or equal to the King Air 200.
And is that the right answer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You said you knew the answer, and then you said someone.
Yeah,
did
somebody
it, so
tweeted
to make
that.
That
in.
Was in alignment.
What's that?
I wanted to make sure that was in alignment.
Yeah,
that's all.
That,
I want to
is.
Hold you to
yeah,
your
exactly. Angry. So like, anything with a super. Because I think sometimes you see King Airs, you hear them on the radio, and the air traffic control calls, you know, super King Airs, King Air 200s. But a lot of people would think that the King Air 350 is solely the super King Air, but it's not. You know, the 200 is in that family as well.
Interesting news.
It's and then they usually have that painted on the side, pressurized aircraft and radar equipped.
I've seen that on Barons. I've seen that actually start on a Baron.
Yeah.
And then the radar equipped actually on a Bonanza.
Yeah. But, yeah.
No. Yeah. That small, kind of little metal logo. Some of those 200s will actually say that the Super King Air.
Yeah. No, I think I like those metal logos. I think they're kind of old school. There's actually a King Air, in the hangar that the King Air that I fly is based in. That has one of those. And they have a lot of the mods, for those who aren't very familiar with, King Air modifications, but RaceSpec is a pretty big, performance enhancing, part maker for King Air, which is pretty neat.
you know, I'm quickly going here because if anyone wants to see those two King Airs right now, I'm going to check the webcams real quick. But if you go out to leadingedgeflyingclub.com, which is an organization, a flying club that Al and I belong to, and then select webcam, and then there's an internal one inside the community hangar and one on the external. And the last place I left it, and the internal one, was facing the King Air, because I was at that flyout on Thursday night, and we're sitting around the table, and all of a sudden we pull that up, and we see Al walking around the hangar. I called him on the phone. He was waving at us. Actually, it's not coming up here. I got this computer. I got a new computer. It wants me to install something, so I can't get it on here. But it's probably facing his King Air, so take a look right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, Danny, what's your favorite kind of King Air? If you were to have a King Air model, which one would you have?
You know, I've always been a fan of the F90s.
Those are cool.
You know, having the T-tail and having the hot rod engines. Of course, the new C90s that are coming out are such hot rods, man. Those things are pretty sweet. But then naturally, you know, the new 350s, you know, might be enough room in there to hold my whole family, maybe.
I think he just went through and named every model in answer to a specific question about which is your favorite. I think you just capped out.
it's hard, man. I might have to own a few, you know, depending on what we're doing. How about that?
Fair enough. That's not, you know, it's not a problem to have too many King Airs, in my opinion. Yeah. Well, anyway, Danny, it's been outstanding having you on the show tonight, and you know, I've been posting on KingAirNation.com.
You do a good job with the multitasking. You're asking questions, you're listening to answers, you're typing away. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, well, I'd say I don't know. Sometimes it feels like I'm a juggler juggling machetes or something like that, about ready to sneeze or something like that. But no, it's good. King Air Nation is definitely grown into something pretty cool, and you know, I think it's pretty neat. I've gotten a couple friend requests and group invitations on this tonight, and you know, just I got to say that. You know, what you've been doing to help build a community in aviation is so important, and, you know, we need more guys like you, providing this kind of culture and tapping into the new way of enjoying aviation through social media and pictures and videos and stuff like that. What you're doing is really awesome, so thank you very much.
No, thank you guys. Like I said, it's been great feedback, and, we definitely welcome that from the community. We would love to see this thing grow and support the group, and it's definitely exciting so far.
Yeah,
very cool,
outstanding. Well, thank you very much. We wish very continued success to King Air Nation, and maybe Mark, if you get up to Oshkosh, and if there's a drawing for an iPad, you know, you can put your name in.
I will indeed. Actually, I just want a T-shirt. Danny, thanks so much, buddy. Have a great week, and we look forward to reconnecting very soon.
Alan, Mark, thank you guys very much for having us.
All right.
You betcha.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Good night. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm again, a lover of King Airs because of the airplanes in our hangar. Not having had the pleasure of flying one, it's kind of one of those far-off dreams. So when you and I talk about favorite airplanes, favorite organizations, I'm usually focused on more of something that's within reach.
Yeah.
You know, a Bonanza, a Cirrus SR-22, whatever, maybe even a Pilatus, which I guess isn't that much in reach, but, you know, it's cool. You know what? And I find myself now really wanting to get involved. And I look at Danny, who doesn't even have a pilot's license. And he has that love for that thing that, again, I'm calling out of reach, and he's brought it within his own reach.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's outstanding, and I think that's kind of the neat thing that people don't realize in aviation is there's so much opportunity. If you are a pilot, you aren't a pilot, you know, there's always a place for everybody, and it's just, you know, us as pilots would not exist without guys like Danny and,
you know, that's really cool that we all belong to the same community.
Yeah, I'm laughing now because I pulled up on my iPhone the Leading Edge Flying Club webcam.
Yeah.
And somebody's swinging the camera around because you can control it remotely, and we're looking at the catwalk, we're looking at the floor. If the person kind of scanning it, the King Air is usually in the middle bay to the right, toward the back.
Yeah.
And every time I push a button to move the camera, somebody else moves it in a different direction. So I'm not going to fight you anymore. You win. But raise it a little bit and go to the right, and there should be two King Airs, the 350, and then Al's is the 200 that's usually in the back.
Yeah.
In the middle of the hangar.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Why am I looking at a catwalk? I want to look at airplanes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, we got our next favorite segment of the radio show.
Hangar Talk!
Coming up, but first...
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, speaking of Hangar Talk, you're almost like doing hammer kanger or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. That, first day with those teeth.
Camera talk. It's just doing, looking at the webcam on the website.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I'll put it down. I'm, you know, you were doing the multitasking thing. I thought I would do it as well. You know, I think it says a lot, and, you know, we've talked about the Flying Club and AOPA is putting a big push on it. I mean, how many organizations, you know, take over an office in a building we don't own and then cut a hole in the wall without telling anybody and install a window and then put a camera on the outside and a camera on the inside? I think that's what they call fanatics.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So what are you doing this week? You know, we talked about what we did last week. What's in the aviation world for you this week?
What's coming up? Well, it's getting colder in Chicago. I am flying the King Air to where it's warmer with the other face of Simple Flight, Mr. Travis Ammon. We're flying out to down to Dallas, Texas, or
nice.
Fort Worth, Texas. And we're going down there for a few days and on to Albuquerque, over to Denver, and then back on Friday. So that's kind of a nice little trip in a King Air.
I'm doing the Las Vegas thing next week, but that's with the airlines, of course.
Oh, man, that's kind of a – I wish you could fly out there.
Yeah, so do I.
What would you like to fly out there in?
Well, you know, the one that I'm most comfortable with of planes that are available to me that I'm – license for would be the SR-22. It'd be a long flight, but it'd be a great flight.
Yeah.
And this week I hope to finish because I haven't gone back because of my schedule to get checked out in that VTOL Bonanza.
Right.
So I'm hoping to finish that this week. And if I can do so, maybe on Sunday, if it works out and I get back here in time, is fly out to Kansas City, to see my son. Because I haven't been out there in a while, and thank God for Skype. We Skype you on Sundays, but I would love to actually show up and take him to lunch.
Hey, that would be outstanding. I think that,
you want to come?
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should do the show, except it might get a little late. By the way, when we were at, Rochelle at that, flight deck,
yeah.
Bar and Grill.
Right.
We should start doing more remote broadcast, even though it's Sunday night, it might make things a little bit tough on Monday morning to get up. I think that'd be cool and kind of reach out and touch our audience, if you will, our listenership that supports us. It might be neat to go to some different places and actually broadcast from their airports.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be pretty neat and go out and see the things and. It'd be fun is to broadcast from another signature location.
Well, let's make sure we do each one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start at the downtown airport in Kansas City.
Yeah, I love that airport.
Yeah. Hey, I just got a tweet in about somebody's favorite King Air paint scheme, and he said that he always likes to see the air ambulance and military versions of those paint schemes. That's kind of interesting. Where if you see a King Air in a military paint scheme, it's not necessarily a B-200 King Air or whatnot. It's a the designation and model number of that airplane usually changes.
Oh, no kidding.
You know what, speaking of that, do you know what the 747 Air Force One, its military designator is?
Big Bird? I don't know.
Big Bird? Well, no, let's see.
The first thing that came to mind.
So if anybody knows out there on Twitter what the Air Force One's model, military model number is, it's not a Boeing 747. If you know what it is, tweet it into us, and we'll announce kind of the winner on the show.
And what do they win? Just a King Air Nation T-shirt,
a happy mention,
an HM.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I think it's pretty neat. I actually had to do a. Well, let's see. We got
one here.
Yeah,
VC-125.
It's so close, so close. that's a really great answer, and it's very, very close.
All right, well, let's give someone another second, and otherwise we got to break the silence and help them out here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so tell me a little bit. You know, when we talk about hangar talk, I'm thinking more flying experiences than airport designations and airplane designations. You would have had an instrument flying lesson today, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've had this student on before because you took a flight out to the West Coast with this gentleman.
Right. Right.
So how is it now just to be in the Midwest and continuing the lessons with local airports? How'd that lesson go?
Well, you know what? It was actually pretty interesting. You know, he thought that practicing approaches was
you know, for what you say, I have a feeling he's listening too.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of, it's hard work. You know, if you do approach after approach after approach after approach, it is a lot of hard work. And usually, 99.99% of the times, you know, you're flying an IFR flight plan, you fly a long leg. So, for example, in the King Air, we fly IFR out to Philadelphia, and it's a 650-mile flight. So while we're flying that, you know, we've got 2 hours to kind of twiddle our thumbs, and, you know, we may shoot an approach into Doylestown and come in and land, but you shoot one approach, but it's unless you do a legitimate missed approach in the real world and have to shoot another approach, you don't really do, it's not very realistic to shoot one after another, you know,
right,
in terms
right,
of approaches.
Well, and the thing here is you take off and 2 minutes later you're already past the initial approach fix.
Yeah.
It's just so close, it's not very realistic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think that it's a, it was good because I'm glad that, you know, you see the real, my student was able to see the real world of aviation and flying, IFR. Because I think it's hard to teach that aspect to students. You know, when you say, hey, you know, what we're doing right now, we're shooting, you know, 10 approaches all in a row. But then, when you're out there, you know, in the real world, you're going to have a 200-mile leg and, you know, an hour and a half, you know, to in cruise. And then you're going to set up for an approach and come in and land and shoot one approach. So, it's kind of interesting to try to transmit that experience without actually doing a trip to Arizona or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
It is very cool. So there's a couple interesting things going on in aviation this week. One, you brought up American Airlines and their paint scheme.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, talk about technology fails and all that. They sent out, I thought it was really cool, they had a little timer and said, okay, the announcement of the new American, you know, 2 hours, 51 minutes, 37 seconds, count it down. And I was there, it was like 9 a.m. in the morning they were announced it. I flipped over, and they must have had some technology problems because all I got was errors. They must have been overloaded.
Yeah, yeah. No, there was a lot of stir up on Facebook when I was on it, and the day that I didn't even know that American was coming out with a new paint scheme, so shame on me. But they it was released, and a lot of friends posted on Facebook. I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's new, modern, and I'm trying to envision what the MD-80s landing at O'Hare are going to look like.
We should take some pictures and put them on SparkReel.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was pretty nice. But, you know, it's also been a pretty rough week for the 787.
Oh, my God. They're grounded, right, with the battery problem?
Yeah, battery problem.
Yeah, how would you like, I mean, it's the big splash of how wonderful this is, the aircraft of the future, and what are we, a couple months into it, and it's grounded.
Yeah.
Is that to be expected?
Well, you know what? I think the Airbus A380 had its issues. I know that when we were flying, or when I was flying the Embraer 170, you know, I maybe started flying it after it'd been online for 2 or 3 years or so, and they had a nickname for it, the Embraer 180, because as you would push back from the gate, you'd be an Embraer 170, you'd get a software glitch, and there was a message that that wouldn't allow you to take off, so you had to do a 180-degree turn and go back to the gate. So there was the Embraer 180. So I think that, you know, it's bad press for the airplane, but really it's kind of an expected thing. I don't know. And when you start thinking about it, you know, these airplanes they're rigorously tested, but, you know, the issues don't really arise until, you know, they're actually out there in service and, you know, doing the thing that they do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just like software. When you put it out there, there's, lots of hype, and then all of a sudden there's lots of bugs. And sometimes software companies will actually launch software with known bugs, hopefully no level one bugs, you know, things that are take a system down.
Yeah.
But it just shows, I think, the pressure to get something out there and turn it into a revenue source rather than an expense source.
Yeah, yeah. There was a, going back to, let's see, the Air Force One.
Oh, yeah, what was that?
It's a VC-25.
Oh, instead of 125-25?
Yeah.
I think that that person probably should give us a call and and maybe get his plea in to give him a correct answer.
Yeah.
Right? Let him go do it. He's just the one digit.
A quick little do-over or whatnot, but... But yeah, let's if that person wants to call in, that would be outstanding, and that'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead and call in, call or tweet or whatever, and we'll bring you on air, and we can talk about this.
Yeah, exactly. So, while that's going on, there's a there's something else in aviation that was pretty neat, and it was well. Not to say that the 787 wasn't neat, or the new American Airlines paint scheme, but I actually one thing that I did see about that was watching people kind of compare those paint schemes with others. But we got a call in here, don't we?
Yeah, I'm thinking that I know who this is in terms of we just asked someone to call in. Welcome to Simple Flight Radio.
Hey guys, how's everything going? Loving the show tonight.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. So did you hear that your answer VC-125 was just one digit off?
Yeah. Yeah. That that extra one must have been a typo. Couldn't have been my knowledge.
Never.
I'm never wrong. So I don't know why that would be the case.
Yeah. So this is Lewis. Lewis from Chicago is giving us a call. Welcome to the show.
So thank you.
I understand also from our engineer that you also have some exciting news about a flyout or something coming next weekend.
Yeah, I know you guys are both planning on it, and I wanted to just drum up some further interest. A bunch of us at the Leading Edge Flying Club are planning on making a trek up to Janesville, JVL, for a little breakfast and great networking event with some of the other great flying clubs that are located around the area.
Yeah, well, and as I understand it, there's going to be at least 30 people up there. It's going to be great, although with the renovations that restaurant's going under, I don't know if they can host us. I hope they can.
Yeah, yeah, it might be some standing room pancakes. Probably not going to be eating outside if the forecast holds up, but should be great nonetheless. It'd be great to have a lot of familiar airplanes on the ramp up there. Get to see what some of the other clubs are flying, and yeah, just do some great hangar talk.
Were you listening to the show earlier when I talked about the Rochelle Airport with their eating facility?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely on my list of to-dos. Always looking for another great restaurant for a Saturday or Sunday morning, and that's a nice distance to fly in any airplane. I'm particularly hooked on the Leading Edge Sky Arrow, and can't go too far with that, but that'd be a great little trip to fly at about 1,000 feet over there.
That'd be awesome. Matter, count me in as long as they've got that heat conditioning or the heat fix so that we don't freeze our feet off.
Yeah. I'm committing to flying up to Janesville that next weekend, but we'll need some heat warmers and some heavy duty gloves. But I'm in if your fellow broadcaster is in as well.
Yeah, there's a well, Mark and I are probably gonna have to arm wrestle for the other seat in the Sky Arrow or something like that. But I think you and I have flown that airplane to Janesville before, and it's a fun flight, fun airplane.
Well, that's the thing, you know, with the Skyline, I'm so used to just doing the Skyline tour, being relatively close. We don't think of it much as a cross-country, quotes around the word cross-country aircraft, and I think that would be fun to actually go somewhere. I keep thinking about the gentleman that flew it from North Dakota or wherever that was to here when we first bought it. That would have been a heck of a flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it really was a totally different experience than what I think both Al and I are used to. We you know, did the flight at no more than 1,500 feet, and cruising along at under 100 miles an hour. It was just so amazing because you could really appreciate the landscape and everything else that was going on, and instead of being up, you know, a few thousand feet higher and having everything fly by, it felt like we were just down with nature and really experiencing flying at a grassroots level, if you will.
Literally. Look at the grass.
Yeah, yeah, literally. I think we had some grass blades on the windshield by the time we landed from some of the people mowing their lawn, but that was a great experience. So looking to replicate that, minus about 40 degrees Fahrenheit, but that's exciting enough.
What's your dream destination that you would like to do in any of the aircraft that you're licensed for?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I'd say Oshkosh is my near-term destination. I would love to fly in there. I've been driving there for about 20 years and really want to experience all that is the going to Ripon, Fisk Arrival, and everything. I read the NOTAM every year telling myself, yeah, I want to do it, but I've got to just put that plan into action. So I think that's near term, and certainly what Al's done recently flying out west is a great goal as well. Love to fly around the mountains, just see the changing countryside and everything. So that I don't know, maybe Phoenix, maybe something further west. That would be a great experience in my mind.
I want to see Mount Rushmore and Devil's Tower.
Oh gosh, well you were talking about Spark Reel earlier. That would be a really unique challenge to get some people out and flying long distance and get a shot of Mount Rushmore from the air.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? Some people have told me because, it's 2,000 feet or whatever, that it's smaller than you think, but I still think it would be impressive. And once before, I had posted on a forum that I was going to be heading out to Montana, and a gentleman that evidently is working on Crazy Horse up there said, hey, you stop at Rapid City and I'll give you a personal tour up on the mountain. I thought, oh my goodness, I gotta take advantage of that.
That sounds like a good tour.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome.
You know, last spring, we got to fly the King Air. We did a couple laps around Mount Rushmore in the King Air.
Did you really?
Yeah. It was awesome.
And was it, I mean, to my comment that I heard that it's smaller than you think, what was the view like?
The view, well, it was kind of difficult to make the whole structure and monument out, but, it was pretty easy. It was kind of fun to go out and find and try to, you know, find it all. But, it was neat. I think that there was, if you talk to, Rapid City Approach, they give you a CTAF frequency for orbiting the mountain. So you kind of announce that you're orbiting at X feet, you know, thousands of feet.
Wow.
And do that. So I got some pics. I think I may even have a movie if I find that.
Watching a movie and it was, I can't remember, but it was Cessna Tail Draggers, like, you know, 180s, 140s or something. They were making a west to east coast. Actually, not going to east coast, but they were going east and they had some great shots, movies of going by Devil's Tower, which really? I thought was really, really cool. So Lewis, I'm going to get you to Air Venture, this next year. So I'll make you a deal. We'll either one, I'll be PIC and you'll go with me, or I'll sit right seat for you and be your navigator, and you do the Oshkosh thing, but one way or another, you're flying in this year.
Done. I'm ready for that challenge.
Yeah, I flew right seat my first year and got the sense of it, and then the second year I sat left seat, and it was just, as I call it, rite of passage.
Yeah, it really is, and it's been grainy at me for a few years now. Ever since I got my license, it was just like, all right, I've got to do it, and clearly want to do it with another pilot who's got experience doing that. But one thing we kicked around was, maybe you guys talked about on the show recently, was having Pilot Edge sort of set something up so that people could do that in a simulator environment and kind of get the feel for flying. I don't know. I'm sure it would be a little more complex, but the feel for flying in there with some of the other airplanes and following the procedures and seeing the landmarks. But I'd love to sit right seat. I mean, left seat would be ideal, but right seat. Seems
hey,
like
do left seat
fun.
Then. That's all right. You know, I'll be there, and as long as we have both sets of our eyes looking out the window, you're fine. I mean,
exactly.
I found it to be a very controlled chaos, if you will. It's not as scary, but it's every bit as exciting as you can imagine.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
You've done it, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you mean it sounds like a lot of fun. You know it's fun. You did it.
Yeah, well this upcoming year.
Yeah. Yeah, we should actually have a flight of three or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that's what I was going to say. It sounds like we need to get some other airplanes involved here and make it a caravan.
Yes.
Get a bunch of us going up there, I've never stayed overnight there either, so that'd be ideal. Cause I feel like when I go there for one day, I leave with a list of to-dos, not crossed off, and whether that's going into some of the tents or sort of walking around some of the other exhibits. The field is so huge that you just can't walk around and absorb everything except you wish, in just one day.
You know what? We just got two tweets in here. One person said, sign me up a seat for, Air Venture. And somebody else said, this person is from Ohio and said, let me find an airplane and, I'll do the Oshkosh 13. Caravan. So we got a couple people already committing.
All right.
All right.
You started,
right.
Lewis?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's what, the original intent of, my calling was for, is to get some good general aviation noise going and, get some stuff on the calendar for 2013. We gotta keep the networking up. So I accept, and sounds like a great plan. Let's do this.
All right. Well, as I like to say, so let it be written, so let it be done.
Excellent.
Well, thanks for the call, Lewis. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, you guys, great job tonight, and great guest of King Air Nation. I really like hearing about what they're doing. So you guys take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So, it's been an awesome night, hasn't it?
It always is. Sunday, I mention this probably every week, there's no way that Sunday night should be as high on my list of great days as it is, but it is, and it's all because of Simple Flight Radio and getting sit down with you and talk with people like Lewis and know that there's a lot of people out there listening around the globe.
Yeah.
To hear us as we talk to amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's been it's turned out to be a pretty fantastic ride and just an outstanding our own little community.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So talk to me. What do we got next week? I know we have a lot of shows lined up over the next several months.
We do. It's a lot of fun. We have next week Pat Flanagan coming on the show.
So I know Pat Brennan was a figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
Tell me more about Pat Flanagan.
So Pat, let me say both Pats exist, but Pat Flanagan is he's the founder of aviationchatter.com, and he does some writing for aviation blogs on, I believe it was Forbes and a couple other well-known sources. He's got an aviation app out there that he developed. The airlines kind of inspired him to make it. I use his app for training instrument students. It's just it's a lot of cool things that he has his feet into, and not to mention he's an airline pilot.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, we've seen a lot of that. Matter of fact, No, we also have some other guests coming up over the next several weeks. I understand that we're going to be having famous John and Martha King on, and that's the too distant future.
Yeah, John and Martha King are going to be coming on in about a month or so, actually a month and a half or so. That's going to be fun to talk to them. They're actually really excited to come on, believe it or not. And
I believe it. Why wouldn't they
be?
I'm excited to be here. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, we have the CEO of Surf Airlines, a new airline out in California, based out of the Santa Monica Airport.
That's that PC-12 airline?
Yeah, the PC-12 airline, kind of a all-you-can-fly
I'm excited to hear about that one, too, because I've read a little bit about it, and I keep thinking, I want to join that. I want to be one of their customers.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a lot of fun?
It seems like it's really doable. And I want to know, how are they going to do it in the economic model that at least I read? It sounded, like I say, very doable for a lot of people. So I wish them the best and look forward to talking to them.
Oh, absolutely. No, we got that. In just another week or two, we're going to have Amelia Earhart on the show.
Excited about that.
Absolutely. That's going to be fun to hear about what she's doing in aviation. As well as her trip that she's planning around the world.
In an SR-22.
Yeah.
What a great name, too.
Isn't it?
Right? I mean, I know she's a distant relative of the other Amelia, but I love that name just to hear it. So that's cool. It'll be fun to say, hey, and welcome to Amelia Earhart and the show. But certainly with a lot going on in the near future, exciting shows, we want to thank Danny Carpenter of King Air Nation. That's kingairnation.com. Who joined us tonight, like I said, and what we learned is here is a person that took a passion and has really added value to general aviation and aviation in general. Hey, I like that. Hey, general aviation, aviation in general.
I like it too. It's like county general.
Not exactly, but we'll go with that. So thanks again to Danny and the great things. And I will sign up for King Air Nation and become part of that social community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be, we got some neat shows coming up. A lot of fun tonight with Danny, as you mentioned, and a lot of fun with you.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we got off to a good start with our Sunday night chuckle and seeing you eat that turkey burger I bought for you.
Hey, that was a Hail Mary pass. I was actually a little concerned about if I was going to be able to grab dinner in tonight, and I think that was a nice pilot gesture.
Well, that's what teammates do for other teammates, right? Or what pilots and pilot crew do for each other.
Yeah,
we'll call it that.
Exactly. So,
all right. Well, let's make it a great week, and wish you a good week.
Thank you. I wish you a great week as well.
I appreciate that.
It's gonna be really, really fun.
Yep. Well, I have some potentially exciting news for next week. I don't want to blow any surprise here, but something that may be announced on Friday or Saturday that I'm looking forward to talking about next Sunday night as well. So,
well, we're going to be looking forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, so I invite everyone back next Sunday and tell all your friends about some exciting news in general aviation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I hope everybody's flying east this week for some serious and heavy, strong blowing tailwinds, and you'll probably also get a few
blue skies.
Have a great night, everyone.
Good night.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.